This episode of Rocket Ship is brought to you by Product Board. With Product Board, you get the right products to market faster.
Product Board is the product management system that helps you understand what users need, prioritize what to build, and rally everyone around your roadmap. You can also monitor progress towards launch while earning colleagues' trust and engaging your customer community.
Join the journey to product excellence today by starting your free trial at productboard.com or launching your free customer feedback portal.
Michael, when you think of some companies that are on the cutting edge of tech, what comes to mind?
Wow. I don't know. That's a pretty big question.
I know, but just go with me on this one, please.
All right. So SpaceX, Tesla, Hyperloop.
All companies by Elon Musk, I'm noticing here.
I'm just getting started.
Okay. All right. Well, I noticed that the first company out of your mouth wasn't, Dun & Bradstreet.
Dun & Bradstreet, the data company? Aren't they like 200 years old?
It's actually 179 years old to be exact, but close enough.
All right, so I'll be honest. They were not the company that came top of mind for me, but very impressive that they've lasted this test of time. 179 years. We can't call that a startup anymore, can we?
No, I don't think so. But Dun & Bradstreet is a company that is now in the digital era, but it wasn't always this way. Not until Yardley Pohl joined the team. In this two-part episode for the special Rocketship FM mini-series, we're going to learn all about the tall task that Yardley had to try to help bring Dun & Bradstreet into the tech era.
Welcome to Rocketship.fm.
Rocketship FM is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We're your hosts, Michael Sacca
and Mike Belsito.
So you recently caught up with Yardley Pohl.
Yeah, and first off, Yardley is awesome. I mean, we had never even connected before, but it felt like she and I were old friends right away.
That's always nice.
For sure. Anyway, in our conversation, Yardley told me about the moment in time when she joined Dun & Bradstreet. Now, today she's an executive, investor, advisor. She was a product leader at places like Trulia and Zillow. But back in 2008, she was just getting started in her career.
Earlier on in my career, it was actually my first product job, and it was at Dun & Bradstreet. It was like a 100-year-old company that, you know, really sells data on, for small businesses where they were having really hard time getting loans and getting, you know, the credit that they needed to like survive, essentially. And I found that a lot of the products at Dun & Bradstreet to traditionally have been hard for small businesses to use and for small banks to use, because it all requires, like, all the predictive solutions required having engineering in your own company to actually pipe in the data. And so I saw an opportunity whereby we could build a web-based product. And back then it was like never had been thought about and it had never been introduced at the company.
So Dun & Bradstreet was providing lots of data, but small businesses were having a hard time making use of it. So the idea was create a website product to help small businesses take advantage of the data in a very simple way.
Yeah, and that would also allow banks to make use of that data too. And in fact, this is where the real secret sauce of the product was. I mean, banks would provide small business payment data in an anonymized way, and Dun & Bradstreet would collect all that data from the many banks and provide a holistic data product back to the banks. It helps them better analyze small businesses to determine how to make loans and hopefully increase the number of loans that small businesses can get approved for.
And so Yardley set out to create that product?
Well, yes, but she had to get sign off from her CEO first. And there was one big requirement.
So essentially, I put together a business case and really circulated that and presented to CEO. And he allowed me to try to build this product if I was to bring back $8 million in 2 years. So there was a very much like a revenue goal tied to the product I was building, not like sometimes nowadays where it's like, okay, here's a great idea. Let's just go build it. Can you please let me build it? It's like there's actually financial outcomes that tie to it that you have to hit.
$8 million in 2 years. No pressure, Yardley, right?
Yeah. Basically, by creating this product, she was making a big promise. She would deliver $8 million back to the company within 2 years. Now, if her product worked, she'd be seen as a rock star, right? But if it didn't, it would be a big failure. And not many people would want to be associated with a big failure, right?
But I imagine that Yardley did not let this requirement dissuade her.
Not at all. I mean, those that know Yardley wouldn't be shocked by that. She persisted and she got started. But there was one big problem.
What was that?
Well, she got approved to move forward with the product, but it's not like there was this dedicated team just waiting for her. Yardley had to go out and build that team.
The first thing that went through my mind was like, how am I going to recruit a team that would actually build this new thing? Like, forget even trying to get the data from customers, but like, it was just me, you know, with this idea. And it's like, green light, you can go do it. But mind you, again, it was my first product job. My job before that was as a like engineer at Apple, like, you know, coding away or like working on hardware. So for me to think about, okay, how am I going to attract the right talent to get the team together was like the first thing that came to my mind. And I know that I didn't have a huge budget to actually hire a bunch of like people from outside. And in fact, I needed to create like predictive scores that were really spot on. There was like no room for error. And so the first thing I did was really try to be friends with the data scientists at our company because I really needed the brain power as the first step of like building this product. I was able to get a few of them very excited about the product, kind of like what we have now, like hack weeks or hackathons, you know, where you just get to like get people's spare time to build some proof of concept. That's exactly what I needed. And so we formed an informal team and working on it as spare time we could to actually build the proof of concept.
So the team was formed. Yardley made some new friends internally.
Some very, very smart friends.
Yes, some data scientist friends that could help her build the models that would be needed to make the product work. And together, they got started.
Yes, the team was in place, but now they need to go out and actually get that data.
And that would prove to be kind of tough, right? In fact, it was the same question that would continue to swirl around in Yardley's mind.
How am I going to get this data from banks? Like, what was it going to take for them to give us this data to see the value of the product? And what I learned very quickly was that, you know, I really needed to get these customers to feel like they were going to have the first access to something, you know, kind of like hype up that demand and to be exclusive part of our journey of building this product. And so we came up with this idea of inviting banks to be our customers, to be part of like an advisory council. And that's what we termed it. We said there are only 24 seats. Seats are limited. We want diverse representation of like small banks, big banks, some from California, New York, all over the States, you know, it's domestically focused at first. So we, you know, created this exclusivity to join us as part of the advisory council. Essentially, I used all those conversations with banks as like also like good discovery conversations, right? From a product perspective. And so it was just like, I was using as research as well. Like I didn't have a user researcher. It was also me. And so, you know, I was doing everything. And so every conversation, every meeting that I got sales team to set me up with a bank, I was like viewing as gold. It was like their time was the most precious thing in the world. And it meant tremendous to me. I would like overstudied like about the bank. Like I would try to be very well prepared in every one of these conversations to make our time efficient. And so while part of the conversations was like getting them to join my advisory board, the other way is just doing user research and discovery. So yes, I was like being a PM at the same time, like feeding the information back to my team to build the product and iterate. But again, we're just sprinting towards proof of concept at that point.
So this customer advisory council was a way for Yardley to, number one, get banks interested in getting involved and hopefully become actual customers later on. And two, provide Yardley and her team with important customer development information. Now, this entire process, it took a long time. It took 6 months.
And that was already about 25% of the time she had to bring $8 million into the organization.
And there was another big problem that Yardley was experiencing. This advisory council was a great idea, but they still weren't getting as much data as they'd like from these companies.
For at least like, I would say 5 months, we couldn't get a lot of banks to give us their data. They would only give us a subset of their data, or like we would only get data from small regional banks. And that's just really tough because we needed all of it, you know? And with the bigger banks, it was just all about building trust to be able to do that. And so when we were able to get any one of them, I just felt like, okay, this is never going to happen because we're never going to get enough data to actually even build this product and build the predictive scores. We would never get to significance. And so at that moment in time, I just really then focused all of my energy in trying to figure out how I could get at least one bank to give us all the data. I mean, it's like many businesses you build. Once you have like a brand name saying like they're using your product, or, you know, they like your product, like a testimonial somehow, then you are able to better attract others to follow.
Finally, Yardley's team did get one big customer, a large bank, to agree to start paying them. And even then, they were willing to give DNB 10% of their data.
And that meant that they were also only willing to pay for 10% of the product.
Ugh. Yardley was getting very close to closing the first year of the project up. And yes, they had some interest. They had a customer advisory board set up. They were still struggling to get data, though. And they still struggled to come close to hitting that financial goal. They were pretty uncertain.
So where did they go from here? Did they ever figure out a way to hit that $8 million mark within 2 years?
We're going to have to find out in the next episode, the final episode of this special RocketShip.fm miniseries.
So tune in and find out what happened next.